If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Peter graduated from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology with a degree in computer science and holds an MBA from the University of California, Berkeley. He worked for 15 years in Silicon Valley at banks as a Goldman Sachs financial analyst and at Emergence Capital Partners, and was head of corporate development at Corel Corporation. Peter and co-founder Jay Kim founded New York City-based Oversubscribe in 2018. It's my pleasure today to introduce our listeners to Peter Yang, co-founder of Oversubscribe. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Good. I think this will make a really good conversation here.
The tea sector must focus on creating, branding, and marketing value-added specialty teas and premium CTC. It must also invest in digitally transforming its supply chain to highlight transparency and long-term sustainability, all of which requires outside investment. Since ArtistShare pioneered the concept in 2001, crowdfunding ventures have evolved into sophisticated, multifaceted platforms that support creators and mission-focused businesses. Drawing on the enthusiasm of their fans, entrepreneurs can effectively leverage crowdfunding to secure needed cash, validate ideas, and build strong communities around their brands. Will you explain the fundamental reasons why crowdfunding has flourished?
Funding might not exist from the large kind of institutional investors who are interested in a certain profile of company or certain profile of business, and which makes sense because that's their primary objective as a fund or a company is to make financial returns. So they have a very high bar for what they'll look at, and they'll have a very high bar for what kinds of returns they're looking for. And they kind of have a global perspective here on finding the companies that fit those particular characteristics. But, you know, there's a whole class of companies out there which might not fit what a venture capital firm is looking for, but have different characteristics in place where they might be able to raise funding from other sources. So in particular with crowdfunding and the particular flavor that Oversubscribe uses called equity crowdfunding, you're looking for a different set of characteristics. In this case, it's more that these are companies where they're broadly understandable to a broad set of folks. And then those folks might be interested in funding it for smaller amounts. And, you know, they might be investing for financial reasons. They might be investing because they believe in the product. They might be investing for other reasons as well. The kind of crowdfunding we enable here at Oversubscribe is called equity crowdfunding, as you know well, Dan. The idea there is that this really came out of a set of new regulations that were put in place after the Great Recession, after kind of the big global pullback of 2007-2008. And what came out here in the U.S. as a result of that is something called the Jobs Act, which was a whole package of measures enacted by Congress with the real purpose of stimulating business in America again. And it was a whole package of different measures, which touched on all different aspects of business. And one small corner of this was something called the Equity Crowdfunding Act. And the idea here was that there's a whole host of businesses where they might not attract the business, attract the attention necessarily of private equity firms or venture capital investors because they don't have the characteristics necessarily that they're looking for, but might be able to find other sets of investors, and in particular, individuals who might be interested in investing them, who haven't been able to invest in these kinds of companies in the past. So we can get into all the details of that as we talk about equity crowdfunding more. But the idea here was that, you know, there is capital sitting there out there in the world that can help these businesses to grow, which did a set of regulations that was in place from the SEC to protect investors, was not allowing folks to invest in these companies. So that's what the Jobs Act allowed to happen. What allowed folks to do is everyday Main Street investors can then invest not just in big public companies on the stock market, like your GEs or your Googles or your GMs of the world, that are large companies that have already had public offerings and are on the stock market. But everyday investors, Main Street investors, were able to invest in small private businesses that were not yet on a public market, but that could use the capital as well.
Peter, you contrast online equity investment with crowdfunding donations.
Crowdfunding itself, separate from investing, has been around for a while now. And that first wave were companies like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and we've had companies like Patreon and then GoFundMe in more charitable contexts. So the idea here basically was outgrowth of the growth of the internet, right? That because now it's easy and frictionless to bring together a lot of people for certain purposes, given the growth in financial tools and in terms of building these platforms, they could be brought together for good causes in the case of something like a GoFundMe, or to help pre-fund a company like in the case of the Kickstarter, where you might pre-order a product or get perks. Or in the case of the things like Patreon, maybe pay a subscription price to support your favorite content creator. So the idea here was exactly like you're saying. People were getting used to using money online, and people had the idea, hey, if people need to aggregate that money to do something bigger, we now have the tools to do that. But the big distinction there versus what this Jobs Act and the Equity Crowdfunding Act enabled was, in all of those cases, anything given back to the fans who funded that crowdfunding campaign, whether that's to fund a new product or to fund a movie that a director wanted to make, or whether that's to fund a new charitable campaign, they cannot be given financial returns as part of that. So as you spoke to, they might be able to, for example, get merchandise as a part of that. So, hey, get a free T-shirt or, some free samples of the product. Or they might be able to pre-order a product. If you give money early, you'll get an early version of the product, a much lower price than anybody else will, because we're going to use that funding to build it. But the big distinction there is that, those platforms, by law, cannot share any of the financial results that come out of the use of that money back with the folks who contributed money. So, for example, a Kickstarter, if you did buy, a pre-order product to allow this company to execute on this product vision, even if that company then goes on to be a smashing success and has an IPO on the NASDAQ and is making billions of dollars years later, that money you put in to help them get started just got you nothing else, right? So that early order of the product, even though you identified that this was a great company, a great product, and you wanted to put in money early. Putting in money early and taking a big risk because some of these campaigns, in some cases, the company was never able to execute on the vision and the money might not even return the product they thought they were ordering. They said, hey, there might be other ways to do this. So equity crowdfunding kind of came out of that. Small investors can put money together to help invest in a large company. It's really investing is one way to think about it, right? It's really acting as small, almost angel investors in a company and aggregating money from many small investors to help a smaller company accelerate their growth. But, there's many contexts where folks might not feel the goodwill necessarily towards that, but where they see the opportunity for financial return and they want to be able to participate in that as well. And that's what this new class of equity crowdfunding portals and platforms allows for. And they've kind of combined a few concepts, the idea of crowdfunding, the idea of actually investing in a private company together to allow for that kind of financial return to be returned to the fans as well.
You co-founded Oversubscribe to help influencers and creatives enhance their visibility and earn a share of sponsorships, merchandise, and ad revenue they generate from social media. Will this work for other fan-based businesses?
Sure. So here at Oversubscribe, we like to think of ourselves as a very mission-driven company. So what we're here to do is help every person, every company we work with reach their full potential, regardless of where they're starting from, right? So regardless of where they're starting off from socioeconomically, or regardless of, their level of expertise about certain areas or in the area of raising money, or regardless of, the size of their network, we want to help them to reach their full potential for what they're trying to do, whatever that might be, through our efforts here. So that's very much the case with the creators and the creatives we're working with. But it's also how we think about things with our company or how we think about partnering with other companies. We're very, very focused on helping online content creators to reach their full potential, to be able to bring their audiences the best of what they can bring through what we're able to do. Well, the way we do that is through a platform where we help creators and creatives to raise funding, growth funding, and that could come from financial investments from their own fans. The key insight there for us was that, a big question if you start to have a platform where you're running even a traditional crowdfunding campaign, but also these equity crowdfunding campaigns is, where do those investors come from? And what is their incentive for investing here? Right? So, for example, if you run a Kickstarter, and Dan, I know you did, and we're very successful in that, you have to be pretty savvy about marketing it and promoting it, both to maybe your existing network or existing audience, but also to folks who may have never heard about you. Not everybody is in necessarily a position to do that, so they might have to spend a lot of money just to market this crowdfunding campaign, not even their own business, for varying results there. But when we thought about online content creators in particular, we thought, hey, they are really set up well to be able to capitalize on this infrastructure that's in place to help them raise money, because they already have almost a built-in investor base here of folks who are invested in them in many ways, invested in them emotionally. They've invested a lot of time in following their content. They might be invested in the individuals who are behind that content, might even be invested in seeing them succeed if they've been following them for a long time. And that's their own followers, their own readers, their own listeners, their own viewers. Who have, they've established that relationship over time. They trust that individual, that set of individuals who are behind that content, and they might be interested in supporting them, not just for altruistic reasons, but because if they put money in, they'll be able to get more great content or new products or help that set of content creators reach their ultimate vision there. So with that insight, we said, okay, this is a perfect market to help to raise funding in this way, because they won't have to spend all that money to, market and bring in new investors. Instead, in this case, they have a set of people that they already have an established relationship with who are, quote unquote, invested in them already, who might be willing to invest in them financially at this point as well to both invest in the vision and get more of the stuff from their favorite content creators that they wouldn't be able to get otherwise, but also be able to share in the financial success as well. So that's what we've been doing here at Oversubscribe. We think it makes particular sense in the last few years because we think audiences have become a lot savvier about how online content is being made these days. So there's platforms like yours, Dan, where you're independent a content platform where, you're running ads and doing things like that. But we also work with a lot of individual creators as well, folks like YouTubers or Instagram creators or podcasters or, Twitch streamers who are streaming about gaming. Audiences have become a lot savvier about how the world works for these creators. And they know in the end, for almost all these folks now, it's not just for fun. It's not just a creative outlet. It's not just a side hustle. It's not just a labor of love. But there's usually a business attached to it as well, that these folks are making money from ads and sponsorships. So they felt less comfortable about kind of using those traditional methods of crowdfunding to support these folks. They start to see, hey, I'm putting this money in for them to build something that's going to generate even more revenue for them. But if they succeed, they keep those proceeds and I just end up with this t-shirt. So that insight, together with the insight that, hey, those fans still are interested in supporting their favorite creators, led us to build Oversubscribe, where fans can support their favorite online content creators who might have a harder time getting money from those institutional funding sources that we talked about, like your VCs or your private equity firms or your banks, but could still use the funding. And have this built-in investor base of their fans who they can appeal to. But those fans are most interested in investing if they can share in those financial results. We've run some proprietary surveys of YouTube viewers and social media followers where they said 80% of the most engaged followers are very interested in supporting their favorite content creators with some type of financial investment where they can share in the financial success. But 2/3 said they would very much want to see some kind of financial return over just doing it for rewards or kind of early merchandise and things like that. So we think that's the right timing for us to come out on the market with a product like this. We're helping a lot of creators of all different types of platforms, all different sizes, to raise money to invest in their growth, whether that's to invest in the content itself or invest in new products or invest in business growth. We're helping creators of all sizes across all platforms to really accelerate their growth, to reach their full potential through what we're doing here at Oversubscribe.
T-Journey Magazine is partnering with Oversubscribe to finance a move to the T-Lands in 2025. Relocating will enhance our ability to educate T-enthusiasts and facilitate the exchange of news and business insights via the T-Biz blog and podcast. We intend to celebrate Tea Journey's 10th anniversary in Bengaluru, India, at offices managed by editor Arvinda Ananthiraman. We chose Oversubscribe to encourage our friends to invest in our future.
We're so excited to be able to help you in this way, Dan and Tea Journey and Tea Biz. Not only are you a platform where you have a passionate reader base, right? These are folks who are not just, casual readers, kind of reading their entertainment for each day, but these are folks who are lovers of tea, right? Or lovers of the tea business, who are there to learn more and to learn more about what's out there in the tea world and kind of understand the whole value chain of what's happening in the tea lands all the way through the products they're drinking themselves and the different products you're exposing them to. So you've done a fantastic job in building a platform where you are catering to their needs and giving them the information they need, but they are also passionate about both the subject area and what you're doing here as a platform as well. So, in particular, your vision for moving things to the tea lands, we think that's a fantastic vision. We're really excited to be a part of that in terms of helping you with the funding there to make that a reality. We think it's a great path you've set the company on. We think it's a great way to use the funding we'll be able to help you to raise here.
Relocating Tea Journey to Asia, the heart of tea cultivation and culture, will reduce overhead and enable us to deepen our connection with growers and tea makers to better share the ongoing story of tea. By investing as little as $25, you reaffirm your support for a vibrant global community. Your investment will bring potential financial return by sharing in revenue, unlimited access to our publication for 1 year, and discounted renewals for as long as the publication is active, and exclusive content like consumer guidebook special issues and gift guides. To learn more, visit tjourney.oversub.me. First, we ask that you complete a 3-question survey to help us set a realistic budget for the move. There is no obligation.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.